Head Start Basketball.
Hey Hoopheads, this December our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball are offering $1,000 off and two free basketballs with a Dr. Dish home purchase. Plus, all their commercial models are $2,500 off this month. Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. You can also check out their holiday gift guide if you're shopping for the ball player in your life.
Hi, this is Joe's Decision from Unleashed Potential, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
The first training camp Elite Skill Development and Performance Combine will be held on the campus of Western Reserve Academy, just outside of Cleveland, Ohio, powered by Unleashed Potential and the Hoopheads podcast. The camp is designed for boys rising to grades 6 through 9 and will take place June 29th through July 1st, 2023. An emphasis on improving individual skills in the context of a team environment will be the hallmark of the training camp. Mike Klinzing from Head Start Basketball and the Hoopheads podcast and Joe's Decision from Unleashed Potential will serve as the camp directors of this inaugural training camp. Campers can expect 3 days of hard work, intense skill instruction, and learning how to be a great teammate on and off the court at the training camp. Players will participate in 10 elite skill development sessions led by some of the best coaches from across the country. Visit headstartbasketball.com to get registered. Prepare like the pros with the all-new FastDraw and FastScout. FastDraw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off FastDraw and FastScout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. FastModel also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. FastModel Sports is the best in basketball. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel tonight. And we just finished watching the Cleveland Cavaliers and Donovan Mitchell pound the Los Angeles Lakers, sort of without Anthony Davis, who had been on a tear. But tonight he poured in a whopping 1 point for the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah. They looked really good. There were some times that they looked a little suspect, but there was some that they turned it on when they needed to. Mitchell was fantastic, and yeah, we'll get into it. We'll get into a little more deeper dive in a few minutes, and we talk about Anthony Davis. Really good game for him tonight. He played really well, Mike, so we'll get into that. But before we get into that, we have to do our weekly challenge for you, Mike, the win shares. Now, I'm making this pretty easy on you tonight. Since I figured we were going to talk a lot about the Lakers, I'm choosing the Lakers as the team for the top players of win shares. I want you to try a name. The top five.
The top five Los Angeles Lakers win shares.
Yes.
Magic Johnson.
He's number four.
Shaquille O'Neal.
He is number seven.
Really? Kareem. Yeah.
Kareem is number three.
Kobe.
He's number one.
Jerry West.
He's number two.
So what am I missing now? I'm missing one more?
Yeah, you got to go way back.
So I'm going way back, like way back to Minneapolis? No? Elgin Baylor? Wilt?
Oh, go back to Minneapolis. Go back to Minneapolis.
George Mikan.
There you go. Sorry.
Okay. It's all right.
But you did pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah, that was
there,
pretty easy. That was pretty easy. It's pretty easy to come through with.
Well, listen, I didn't want to drag that out. I wanted to make it a quick one.
Well, that was fast. That was the fastest. That was about as fast as they can go.
So just rounding out the top, the rest of them, okay? So Elgin Baylor is 6. Shaq is 7. Number 8 is... number 8 is Vern Mikkelsen.
Old school.
James Worthy is 9.
Makes sense.
Byron Scott is 10.
Yeah, okay.
A.C. Green is 11.
All right.
And Wilt is 12.
Interesting. Interesting that Wilt's that low. Although, again, he was sort of more at the tail end by the time.
He was the passes.
Yeah, by the time he was with the Lakers, he was not at prime Wilt level. But nonetheless, still sort of surprising. Yeah. But again, when you look at the illustrious history of the Los Angeles Lakers and the guys that are at the top of that list, there's no doubt that there's a lot of guys that are lower on the list than they would be certainly for other franchises, let's put it that way.
Well, spoiler alert, so I'm looking at the ones that we've done so far, the win shares. We've done the Nuggets, the Pacers, the Kings, the Spurs, and the Lakers. I've picked 4 Western Conference teams, so we're going to have to do some Eastern Conference teams over the next few weeks, Mike.
Sounds good. I'll be ready.
You'll be ready. All right. So let's dive into the Cavs-Lakers game tonight. Now, it started off, Cavs off to a good start. They got, I think it was 10-3 early. LeBron and Jared Allen were trading dunks. It was exciting. It was a good start. And it kind of stayed competitive through the whole first three quarters. There were times that it looked like the Cavs were trying to pull away. I think the Lakers' highest lead they had was 3. I don't really remember them getting any more than that. I remember them being up 3 at one point. And Anthony Davis, 1 point, then he had flu-like symptoms. Now, here's my question. Like, in the world that we just got through COVID and all this stuff and the protocols and whatnot, why in the heck is he out there with 101 fever? Like,
seems like it would go against the protocols, but what do I know?
I don't know that there are any theoretical protocols anymore, but if a guy has 101 fever, I'm surely not going to work at 101 fever. And I know I'm not paid millions of dollars, but I'm not going to work with a 101 fever. You're probably not going to work with a 99 fever. I'm just kidding. Anyways, I'm just messing with you, Mike. But I don't understand why is he out there? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Hey, he's powering through, baby.
Or is that just a cover story? Was he really having a 101 fever, or is that just a cover story?
I don't know. I have no idea. We'll leave that to the medical professionals. How about that?
Sounds like a plan. So your takeaways from the game tonight, Mike?
One, I was disappointed that AD didn't play because clearly what he's done over the last 10 games is he's probably been the best player in the league in that stretch. I'm just looking at his stats for the last 10 games prior to tonight. 34 minutes a game, 65% from the field, 88% from the line, 15.6 rebounds, 2.9 blocks, 35.3 points a game. That's probably the statistical profile of the best player in the league over the course of a season. I would say it's pretty safe to say. And he hasn't looked like the same guy in these last 10 games. I know the last time we seriously talked about the Lakers was after the first Cavs-Lakers game, and I told you it looked like both LeBron and Anthony Davis looked like they'd rather be anywhere than playing on a basketball court with the rest of that team. And AD just looked slow and old and, to be honest, out of shape. And so I was looking forward to watching an entire 48-minute game with Anthony Davis playing at his peak and to see him play against the Cavs. And obviously we did not get that tonight where – he made the one technical foul, and that was pretty much it. And then his night was over. He went to the locker room feeling sick. So, look, I don't know. I mean, he's been great. I think if you're the Lakers, is it fool's gold? Has this last run of Davis and the team in total, which now keep in mind that they're 7-3 in their last 10, and they're still in 13th place in the Western Conference. So,
they got off to a really good start at the beginning there, Mike.
Yeah, they got off to a little rough start. Starting out 2-10 was not good. So, look, they've been better, But I guess my point is that you've gotten a historic run from Anthony Davis, and his history tells you that he's not going to be able to stay healthy for the entire season. He's going to miss big chunks of the season. LeBron, over his time with the Lakers, has missed big chunks of the season. We're talking 20 games, 25 games. And if that happens, it just feels like it's not sustainable for the Lakers to continue to play at the level that they've played for the last 2 weeks, let's say. So
I think Mo agrees with you, Mike.
Are they deluding themselves?
I think so. I think they're totally deluding themselves. They have no rhyme or, like, listen, I was all about this team probably. I think they probably could be a play-in team, Mike. I think that's their ceiling at this point, right? Is their ceiling the play-in game?
They can't get in the top six. I just don't see how.
I mean, Utah is falling back to earth, so that's one team I think they're going to pass. I think Utah's going to sell now. I saw a stat on Utah, Mike, that they started the season 10-4, and since then they've gone 4-10. They're 500,
but
right?
I will say, though, they're 14-12. But okay. I think the thing with Utah is that, I mean, where they were at the beginning of the season, where they were at the top of the Western Conference, clearly I don't think that is what's going to happen. But I also don't know, certainly our predictions and thoughts and everybody else's, that Utah was clearly going to be one of those bottom four teams. I don't know if that's 100% sure, although when you look at the totality of the Western Conference, I mean, when you get down, even if you take the Lakers at 10-13, they're only 5.5 games back of Phoenix at 16-8, whereas you look at the 13th team in the Eastern Conference is 12.5 games behind the Celtics, which is the Charlotte Hornets. So the Western Conference is much more bunched together, and the good teams haven't really separated themselves quite as much as the good teams in the East have separated themselves. And there's more, I would say there's more mediocre to bad teams in the East than there is the West. But I think the top end of the East
is stronger.
Certainly Boston, Milwaukee, you would have to say is better than anybody. Those two teams are better than anybody in the West. And I think that the way the Cavs are playing when completely healthy, the Cavs are right there as good as anybody in the West, at least in terms of how they're playing right now. Now, whether you get to a playoff series or whatever, you can make the argument that maybe the Cavs,
I'm willing to say, Mike, I'm willing to say this.
Okay.
If the Cavs were to go against any of the teams in the West, I'm not scared of any of them.
No, I'm not either. I think the Cavs...
I'm not scared. I think the Cavs have as good of an opportunity to... I'm willing to say that the NBA champion is coming from the Eastern Conference this year. Unless something miraculous happens, I'm willing to say that right now. And we're like, maybe I'm jumping the gun, but I'm willing to say that right this second, right now. I truly believe.
Let's take it from this standpoint. Which teams right now do you think have a legitimate chance to win the NBA title?
Eastern Conference.
As the season stands right now.
In the Eastern Conference, the three teams you mentioned. Okay. I believe that in the Eastern Conference. In the Western Conference, as it stands right now, maybe Phoenix. Dallas is too much of a one-trick pony. Denver, I don't know. Denver's kind of been... I would guess Denver is probably close, but I'm not willing to say that I feel comfortable saying Denver. I know you liked Denver a lot, and you always liked Denver. I don't feel comfortable with the Clippers. I know Kawhi, and we'll talk about that in a minute here. Kawhi came back and hit a game winner and played pretty decent yesterday, but who knows how many games that's going to last. Lakers, we don't know way. Probably thinking I'm forgetting someone in the West that...
Golden State?
Who am I forgetting in the West that...
Golden State?
I'm done. No.
You're out on
no,
Golden
no.
State. You don't like their 2-10 road record?
I'm out. No. They have the opposite road as we do home.
Let's
be honest. I honestly, those are the, I think Phoenix and maybe Denver.
And yeah, Phoenix, Denver.
You don't believe in the Pelicans.
I can't see anything else.
You don't believe in the Pelicans.
No, I
mean, they might be third in the West. I mean, we can't put Minnesota and I'm not.
Let's boil it down. Let's take it. You're sort of dabbling in the teams that maybe could win it. Let's fast forward to June 25th or whatever it is when the NBA Finals are going to end next summer. Which teams, honestly, can you see cutting down the net?
The three in the East that we mentioned, Phoenix and probably Denver. And I'll give New Orleans an outside chance, if things go the right way for them.
Okay. I don't see the Cavs winning an NBA title. I think you can talk about the Cavs as a fringe contender where if everything were to break right, huge maybe, somehow the Cavs end up avoiding having to play both Boston and Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference playoffs, and then the team that they do end up facing is somehow diminished. I love this team, but I just don't think that they're – I can't foresee them winning the title. So for me in the East, it's only Boston and Milwaukee. I don't see anybody else that has a realistic chance. Maybe the Cavs have a puncher's chance, but I think only Boston and Milwaukee. And then in the West, you just look up and down those teams, and I don't think Phoenix, with whatever version of Chris Paul they end up having, I don't see them being good enough to beat either of the Eastern Conference teams. I think Denver, to me, is maybe the only team in the West. Well, and Golden State. I think it's crazy to say that Golden State, at where they're at right now, 2-10 on the road, they got to figure out. We'll talk a little bit more about them in terms of what their plan is and what they're going to do with these young guys and how they end up putting together the roster once we get to the trade deadline. But it's hard to write them off after what we saw them do last year, because I never would have in a million years thought that they were going to win the title last year. And I just look up and down the West and I don't see – I don't know. To me, I think New Orleans is a more realistic bet than Phoenix, but I can't see New Orleans next June beating Boston or Milwaukee coming out of the East. I just don't see it. To me, Denver's the only team that from the West that I could see winning the title, maybe Golden State. I think there's four teams: the Bucks, Celtics, Warriors, Nuggets. And I just went back while we were talking, pulled out our tiers, or at least pulled out my tiers. And when the season started, I had Bucks, Celtics, Warriors, Clippers, Nuggets. I think the ship has sailed on the Clippers. I don't see how Kawhi gets healthy over the course of the season. To me, that seems insane. And I don't think the Clippers are there. And so to me, we're down to 3.5 teams. Bucks, Celtics, Nuggets, maybe Warriors, just because of their pedigree.
Okay.
Cavs, puncher's chance. Puncher's chance for the Cavs and Pelicans, I guess.
Listen.
Cavs and Pelicans are the two outsider teams.
For the Cavs purpose, like, I honestly think, like, if we avoid Milwaukee, I feel confident that we can beat Boston. I don't know why, but
well, we've beat them twice.
Think
Look,
that if we,
they're playing so well.
I know, but I feel like we can beat them. I genuinely do. I think we have a chance. If we avoid Milwaukee's the only team I don't feel good about in the East. I feel we could beat anyone. Could we lose to other teams in the East? Yes, we could. But I'm just saying I feel good about every team except Milwaukee.
That's fair. Look, we've played two bad games against Milwaukee. Just we've played two of our better games of the season against Boston. So I guess it still comes down to, I think this is what you're saying without saying it, but I'm more afraid of Giannis than I am of Jason Tatum, despite how good Tatum's been to this point in the season. And I think Milwaukee at their best is still better than Boston at their best if both teams are fully healthy. But again, how many times, it's almost every year that the championship doesn't come down to what happens if everybody's healthy, because everybody inevitably is not healthy. and somebody's going to have an injury. Somebody's going to be missing key guys, and that's going to play a role in who ultimately ends up advancing. So I think you look at, like I said, there's four teams, Boston, Milwaukee, the Nuggets, the Warriors. To me, those are the four teams that if I had to put my crystal ball on and see which team I think is going to win it, I'd say one of those teams. And then I think the Cavs and the Pelicans are my next two teams that are the puncher's chance teams that if everything goes right, they could make a surprising run to the finals. And who knows once you get to the finals.
Yep. All right.
All right, let's talk some Lakers. Let's talk some more Lakers.
What else do you want to talk about on the Lakers?
What do they do? I guess that's the point that we were getting at is we said we don't really believe that they have the ceiling where we're going to talk about them as legitimate contenders for both injury reasons and just for their roster reasons. So it comes down to what do they do? I know there's been three trade scenarios thrown out there where you trade Westbrook and the two picks and you try to get a, quote, star player back. There's the you trade Lakers role players plus those picks to try to get a multitude of better fitting role players back in. And then the other route was that you make a trade with role players and one of the number one picks and then Russell Westbrook and one of the number one picks and you try to make two separate deals. And again, bring in guys that better complement LeBron and AD, which that all sounds good in theory, but the reality is if you're Rob Pelinka, if you're the Lakers, do you really want to hang your hat on AD and LeBron staying healthy? I mean, I guess you have to, but if you trade out those number one picks, I just think no matter what you bring in, you're not elevating this team. As you said, I think their ceiling is the play-in. I don't see how they get to number six. I don't see how they can leapfrog some of the teams who are above them. To be honest, some of those teams have been kind of struggling and scraping by. Like, I don't see Dallas finishing 500. I don't see Golden State finishing 500. To me, those two teams are both going to continue to get better. I think all the teams in the top six, I know Sacramento's 13-9, and maybe that's a little bit of a surprise, but I think Sacramento's good. And maybe they don't finish in the top six, but I can guarantee I don't think that team, barring injury, is falling out of the play-in. So the only team above them, I guess you could say maybe Portland is a team that could potentially fall out. And obviously, we've already talked about Utah, but you still have Minnesota, who maybe they put it together now that Gobert is kind of out on, or I'm sorry, now that Towns is out, maybe Gobert and Anthony Edwards figure it out. They're 6-4 in their last 10. So slowly but surely, maybe they're starting to turn the corner. And Oklahoma City is a lot better than any of us would have thought. And Shea's obviously been awesome. And who knows? Maybe we're headed for the Shea.
Didn't mind.
The late season injury for Shea. But man, if that team just keeps, if they keep everybody out on the floor, it seems like they're going to continue to be competitive as good as he's been.
Yeah. I agree. I don't know what they're going to do. I honestly don't. Mike, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
You ready? I don't think they're going to make a big time. I don't think they're going to make a big time trade. I just don't see it happening, and I don't think it's going to go over well. But I mean,
here's the reason why. So I think part of why that is, and I think you're right. I honestly think that that's probably what's going to happen because I think those deals aren't going to be available, at least not the best versions of those deals, until we get closer to the trading deadline. And my guess is this team is still going to be floundering around 500 at best and probably more than likely below 500. And I know, I think it was trying to think who I was listening to. I might have been Zach Lowe, but I can't remember. But they were talking about how the Lakers, if they hold on to and don't make any trades this season, that they head into the next offseason where they will have another one of their first round picks will become eligible to be traded. Plus, at that point, Westbrook's contract comes off the books. So they're going to have cap space. They're going to have draft picks to be able to trade, and they're going to have a lot more flexibility in terms of what they can put together to offer people in trade. And so they might be able to get a much bigger star, a much better fit if they wait until the summer. But again, the question becomes, how many summers do you have of LeBron waiting around? And obviously, he becomes eligible to be traded after this season is over, and then he extended for one more year, so he's got one more year on his contract. And look, he continues to be incredible. He's not nearly at the level that he's been in the past, but it's still, when you end up looking at the end of the game, he still has 25, 8, and 7, or tonight he had 17 rebounds. The guy just, he's like a metronome. He just keeps putting up stats and stats and stats and stats, and it's clear he's not as impactful on the game as he used to be. Yeah, well, everybody's entitled to their opinion, but even if it's wrong. So, look, LeBron's incredible, and if you're the Lakers, it has to hurt to some degree to quote-unquote sacrifice a year of this best version of LeBron or whatever's left of him. But at the same time, I don't think there's a move to be made in season that elevates this team into title contention. If you're not going to elevate them into title contention, then
you may as well wait.
I'm not sure you want to throw away all those draft picks and your future when at some point LeBron's either going to leave your franchise or he's just going to be so diminished that he's not going to be able to carry you anymore to any kind of a significant record where those picks are now going to become valuable. I guess their main motivation is they don't have a draft pick this year. So they don't have any incentive to be bad this year for their own pick, because that pick, they're bad, is going to go to New Orleans. So I don't know. There's a lot of things going on with the Lakers.
New Orleans is hoping, Mike.
Yeah. New Orleans is hoping against hope, right? They are definitely hoping. They were not looking favorably towards the AD renaissance, let's put it that way. They were not happy to see that.
Looking to grow your coaching? United Basketball Plus has over 3,000 plays and 45 deep dive courses with some of the best minds in the game, including Tyler Costin, Paul Kelleher, Tobin Anderson, Dave Love, and more. You can also view their United Basketball clinics and receive 50% off in-person clinics. United Basketball Plus has partnered with Jordan and Joe's Decision for their skill development curriculum. United Basketball Plus is a one-stop shop to help you grow as a coach, leader, and culture builder. Follow the link in the show notes and use the code CLINIC to receive an annual membership for just $50.
All right, so that's the Lakers. So I think we're going to jump around and talk about some other teams. I think we want to talk about the return of Kawhi. You want to go there next, since we'll keep staying in L.A.?
Sure, let's stay in L.A. Yeah, absolutely.
So Kawhi returned last night. I did not see any stats or anything about this game. All I saw was that he hit the game winner. That was on my feed. So glad to see that he's back. Him and Paul George were close to returning. Now, did Paul George play last night or no?
Paul George played last night too. Yes, both of them played last night. So for whatever that's worth.
So Kawhi had 16 points. He played 28 minutes, So 28 minutes. They played the same amount of minutes. Did they just play together the whole time, and then he take them off the floor at the same time? I mean, I don't know. I didn't obviously watch it, but they both played 27 minutes and 58 seconds, which is an odd time. Kawhi, they have like very identical stats, Mike. Like 16 points for Kawhi, 19 points for Paul George, 6 rebounds for Kawhi, 3 for Paul George, 2 assists, 7. They both took 15 shots. Kawhi made 7, Paul George made 8. They both took, Kawhi took 3 threes, Paul George took 4. So listen, if they can get Kawhi Leonard to play, then it's great for them. But I just don't believe that he's going to be even close to healthy enough to remain playing consistently. Like, obviously, they're not playing him on, I would assume they're not. He's not going to play in back-to-backs, which, they play tomorrow. Does he play tomorrow, Mike? Do you want to make a prediction?
Is Kawhi Leonard playing tomorrow in Orlando?
I would say no. Both because it's a consecutive game and it's Orlando, so the Clippers probably feel they can win without him.
Okay, so you're saying he's playing on Thursday then?
Sure, why not?
Because Thursday they play at Miami.
Sure, he'll show up. Why not? Play in South Beach, might as well.
Okay. So you're not even going that he's not going to play back to back. He's just not going to play consecutive games. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, why play consecutive games? Let's not mess around. Let's just play one every five games. What's it? I don't know. Like, I don't know how you can have any faith that whatever injury he's dealing with or whatever's going on with his knee, that he's going to be able to give you a consistent back to back every other day. Even if, let's say, they get him through the regular season and he's relatively healthy, right?
Yeah.
You're telling me in the playoffs that if you're considering this team to be a legitimate title contender, that Kawhi is going to go through four playoff series at playoff level intensity, playing playoff minutes, so 36-plus minutes every other day? The guy hasn't done that since he was in Toronto. And even then, I know we talked about it before, that he limped through some of that playoff run with Toronto and he gutted it out, and credit to him for doing that. But since then, there's been no evidence whatsoever that he's capable physically of doing what it takes to be able to have that kind of run through the playoffs. So I think in order to believe in the Clippers as a legitimate contender, you have to believe that he's going to be able to play at that level for a sustained period of time. And there's just no evidence that he's been able to do that. Now, look, I want him to be back, and you clearly want the guy to be healthy, and he's one of the best players in the league when he's at his best. But I mean, we haven't seen that in, like I said, three or four years. Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time since we've seen that guy.
Right?
We haven't seen it in the clip. We haven't seen it in Los Angeles at all. So,
yeah, then this was a really good move for them.
Well, let's put it this way: that it's looking more and more like an abject disaster, right? Because think about how good Shea's been, which he was almost, I don't want to say he was a throw-in, but the real prize when that trade went down was the draft equity. It wasn't necessarily Shea. I mean, Shea was considered to be, he's a nice young player that Oklahoma City was able to pluck in the deal, but nobody saw him turning into what he's become. And the reality is, I think, if you look at least the last 4 years of production, you'd probably rather have Shea at this point.
I agree. Probably, right? I mean,
clearly at their peak, I mean, Kawhi was one of the five best players in the league. So, yeah, you want Kawhi,
but right now,
injury history is real. Injury history is real. And,
oh, yeah, for sure. Completely agree.
So, yeah, I can't take the Clippers seriously as a contender just because there's just no evidence that Kawhi can play for any length of time without having some kind of setback or injury or whatever. So until he does that, I mean, this is just going to be a show me, don't tell me, because I just don't see this team without a completely 100% healthy Kawhi and 100% healthy Paul George. I mean, this team doesn't have enough without those two guys on the floor to be any kind of a threat anywhere in the West.
All fair points, Mike. Fair points. All right. So what other teams do you want to talk about, Mike? You get to pick the next one. I said let's stay in L.A. Where else do you want to go?
All right. Well, let's go over to the Eastern Conference and let's talk about the Atlanta Hawks.
Oh, yeah.
Trae Young had a little bit of a situation last week where he was asked to participate by Coach Nate McMillan.
You talking about practice?
In the shoot-around. And he declined to participate. And at that point, Nate McMillan said, well, you have a choice. You can either participate in the shoot around or then once Trey said, I'm not participating, then he said, you can either come to the game and come off the bench or you can not come to the game. And then apparently there was a little disagreement about exactly how that was phrased or not phrased, but Trae Young did not show up for their home game against the Denver Nuggets. And so that did not go over well, at least with the media, and it was something that got out that people were talking about. I listened to the Real Runs, and Sam Amick was a guest from The Athletic, was a guest, and he was talking about how there was some internal discussion with the Hawks that maybe that because of the power that Trey has in the organization, that maybe it's getting to be a little bit too much, and that people were kind of glad that this got out, and maybe it got out on purpose to be able to try to maybe send a message to Trae Young. And it's a little bit concerning when you look at where Atlanta is, and they've been a funny team, right? You look at their last 2.5 seasons. 2 years ago, they go to the conference finals and everybody kind of thinks they're on the rise. Then last year,
they fell off.
They're in the play-in, you know, beat the Cavs, make it into the play-in, but then they get just destroyed by the Heat. Now they come back this year. You sign DeJounte Murray. It seems like, all right, this team's ready to bounce back to the level they were at the year before. And they're 13-11, so they're not horrible. And it seemed like the Trae Young, DeJounte Murray pairing is working pretty well, at least statistically. But it sounds like from what I've read and heard that maybe the chemistry on that team isn't the greatest. You got John Collins, who's been rumored to be traded for, what, like 4 seasons now. It feels like John Collins has been looking to be shipped out by the Hawks. And then you still have the idea of Trae Young's a guy who has the ball all the time, and rightfully so. He's a dynamic offensive player, great scorer, guy who can pass the ball, but he just has to play with the ball in his hands. And when he doesn't have it, he's not doing much. And clearly, on the defensive end of the floor, he's not giving much effort, and he's probably one of the worst defenders in the NBA. So when you start talking about that, like, it's one thing for a guy to take a lot of shots and dominate the ball, but if he's not going to play at the other end of the floor at all and give you zero or negative production on the defensive end of the floor, I would think as a teammate that to some degree that's got to be hard to take. And then if it sounds like you pile an attitude on top of that, it's not really a good combination for good team chemistry. And it sounds like, at least from what I've read and heard, that maybe there's some internal chemistry problems with the Hawks. So who knows?
I don't know. Maybe you have more insight into this, but like, what did the trainers say? Because ultimately, like, I would think that you would rely on the trainers to make this kind of decision, right? Like, whether he needed to do treatment at that time, or is it because it was either the walkthrough or the shoot around, and the trainer really doesn't really have say? Maybe he just says,
yeah, I mean, I don't know what the designation is or what his status was in terms of his availability. It sounded like he could have played in the game from what I read, that McMillan just said, hey, you're going to come off the bench. But it seems like, hey, if he can come off the bench, then why can't he start? And I'm not sure exactly what his shoulder issue is.
But maybe McMillan's making a point, like, you can't just choose when to participate. And
right.
I'm going to hold you accountable. You know,
correct. That's what it seems.
The last guy that tried to hold Trae Young accountable got fired. So McMillan, watch out.
Correct. So I think there's definitely some issues. What those issues exactly are, I'm not sure. But exactly how they play themselves out and the impact they have on that team on the floor, I guess it remains to be seen. But I do know, just from the outside looking in, that it feels like Trae Young could potentially be a guy that might be slightly difficult to play with. And he's got a bad hairdo. He does have a bad hairdo. And it does feel like he could rub teammates the wrong way. If you combine the way he plays with bringing an attitude to the table, that could be a bad combination. And again, we're not there, so we don't know everything that's going on. But just from what I'm seeing, reading, hearing, that's what it looks like. That's what it seems like. So who knows? We'll see.
Yeah. I think this ultimately all boil over. I think, you know, I would think, like, they're going to figure it out. But also, it probably also depends on, like, what is the team's success? Like, you know, they got off to that hot start. And they're still fourth in the Eastern Conference. But, like, are they going to stay there? Or is this going to cause problems and drama? I don't know. I mean, That's the big question, right?
It is, but you look at the whole, look at both conferences, and it's really beyond, if you take out the bottom, I guess you take out the bottom three in the East, and you take out the bottom two, really in the West, if you want to throw the Lakers in there, and it's kind of such a mishmash of teams, and it's teams that clearly, at least not in terms of the way we expected it to go, it hasn't really developed in terms of the season the way that we thought it would. Like, nobody saw Indiana being the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference. And we clearly had them in the bottom four in the East and one of the worst teams. And that hasn't been the case. Brooklyn, now back above 500, but I don't have any faith in them. Philly's been terrible. Lose to the Rockets last night. Toronto, I know they've been injured and they played well the two games that we saw against the Cavs, but they've been completely up and down and had injuries. We saw the Knicks beat the Cavs the other day, but they're a mess. The Wizards were playing well for a while, but now they've lost 7 of their last 10. Miami's been abjectly terrible. Chicago's been terrible. And then those three teams at the bottom are all bad, kind of where we expected them to be. But I don't know, like, are Toronto and Philadelphia going to be 500 teams for the rest of the season? I mean, you wouldn't think so, but how much better are they? I mean, I don't know that either of those teams are that much better than what they are. Certainly not Philly. I think Toronto's ceiling is higher, but it's just weird in the Eastern Conference when you look at that. And then I think in the West, it's more just everybody's so bunched up that one week the standings can completely change because everybody's so close together.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, the top doesn't seem to be changing that much. I mean, I think the Eastern Conference has been the same for like 3 weeks in a row now, right?
The top three have been pretty solidified.
But then everything else has been kind of, like you said, mishmashed together. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of what's going on in the NFL too. I don't know what's going on with these leagues, but like the cream of the, like the top teams are being the top teams, and then everyone else.
I think it's just harder. I think it's harder to have. I think a part of it is, it's just harder to build a roster and build continuity when you have A, injuries, B, guys resting, C, you have shorter contracts than you've ever had. I just think it's really, really difficult to maintain. The teams that usually get out of the gate are teams that have continuity and teams that have been together and have played well together in the past, and those are the teams that kind of tend to do well. But then, I don't know. It feels like injury plays such a huge part too in where teams are at. And I don't know what to make of the middle of either of these two conferences, because you could see teams moving multiple directions. And I just think the other thing with the NBA, at least, is all these teams, for the most part, have, and we've talked about this before, have good, interesting NBA players. Like, there's very few teams that I'm like, ooh, I have no interest in watching that team. Like, there's very few teams that I honestly wouldn't have an interest in watching them to some degree because they have interesting players. And because of that, like, there's no easy games. They're just, the games that you anticipate are going to be, I really thought the Cavs were going to go into New York and win that game, no problem. And then they shoot 32%.
Funny story about that, Mike. So my dad and I are talking, you know, in Ohio, sports betting is going to be legal on January 1, okay? And we were joking how, based on how terrible we've been picking the football games this year, we would never bet on the football game. And then 10 minutes after I had that conversation with my dad, like, I saw the Cavs were only favored by 1.5 in New York. And I sent my dad a text. Now, this is something on January 1 that I would bet maybe consider betting money on. And then what happened? They lost. And I'm like, I sent my dad a text. I guess I won't be betting on any NBA games either.
Keep your money in your pocket, buddy.
Yeah, I know. Keep your money in your pocket. It was just a joke between my dad and I, because we pick against the spread on the football games every single week, just like, gotcha, with a bunch of friends and stuff. And
yep.
we have not been doing very well. So that was the kind of the running joke. But anyways, so I thought you'd enjoy that. Like, I thought, oh man, that's for sure the Cavs are going to win this game. There's no way they're going to lose this game. And then they just played god awful. And what's really bad is they played god awful and they still had a chance to win the game. Like,
they the Knicks were bad too. The Knicks were terrible. I guess the only thing the Knicks did really well was they out rebounded the Cavs. Like,
it was a bloodbath.
It was like 53-38 or something on the boards. But the Knicks had 20 plus turnovers and the Knicks didn't shoot the ball well. The Cavs, I think, finished the game at like 34% or something ridiculous. They played horribly. So thank goodness they bounced back tonight against the Lakers and played much, much better.
Oh, we have been skipping this segment for the Cavs. We haven't been predicting like how they're going to do the rest of the week.
Talk a little bit more in depth. I think what you saw tonight too with the Cavs is how important Jared Allen is to this team.
Yeah. On both ends of the floor.
He's become a really good offensive player. And not just, I mean, look, the guy dunks everything around the rim, but he's got those little half hooks and short little jumpers and floaters that used to be when he first got here and he took those, I was like, oh, like those things are never going to go in. And now I'm surprised when he misses them. He's become a far better player, I think, than anybody would have anticipated. Like, he's much more skilled than what people thought he was when he got here. And he's really worked to get better. And he's made himself he's got a legitimate chance, if he stays healthy, to be on the All-Star team again this year. I mean, the Cavs are going to have a pretty good case to have three guys on the All-Star team if Allen stays healthy and keeps doing what he's doing.
Yeah, sure.
Mobley hasn't gotten to that level yet, although I will say he didn't score much tonight, but
he was all over the place.
Yeah, he looks better and better every time you watch him. And I just think he's an improved handle. See, he's kind of in the same place he was last year. He's better than he was last year, but he's an improved handle and a little bit more strength away from becoming a real problem because he can shoot. I know he's not shooting a ton of threes right now, but you can just see that the shot, it's there, and his shot blocking, his rebounding. Once the ball handling comes together and once he gets a little bit more strength, the sky is still the limit for Evan Mobley. He's really come around the last two or three weeks where even when he's not scoring, he's impacting the game in so many different ways. And look, it's crazy, but right now he's their fourth best player, and that's pretty scary. Those four guys are as good as anything. So did you watch the game on TNT tonight?
Yeah, I saw Shaq go flying into a Christmas tree.
Nice, man. That was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that. All of a sudden I looked up, I'm like, wait, why is Shaq climbing out of the Christmas tree? And yeah, when Kenny Smith blasted him into the tree, that's going to be up there with him tripping over the phone cords. I think we're going to be seeing that one quite a bit over the next few years.
Yeah,
it's got to
be
part of the Shaq and a Fool introduction.
for sure. I don't know. Anything else, Mike, on the Cavs? Oh, predictions. Let's make predictions.
So right,
the Cavs' next game is Friday. They got a few days off. It's nice. They play the Sacramento Kings. Now, they lost the first time they played Sacramento. I'm predicting a victory because it's at home. I'm taking
a home game. That home game, Sacramento's on a road trip. Cavs win that one.
Okay, then on Saturday, we play another home game against the Thunder.
That's a win.
That's a win, too. Yeah. Okay, then Monday, we play at San Antonio. That's a win. All right, so we're saying 3-0. Anything less is a disappointment, Cavs.
You can't go 2-1 in these games. No.
Okay.
Because the only, you got to win all three of these games. Those are three games you got to win.
And then
it's two home games, and then you're going to San Antonio. You got to win.
We have a super bizarre schedule coming up. So we play San Antonio, and then they play Dallas, the Pacers, and then Dallas again. That's bizarre.
Dallas at Dallas first and then back home for Dallas. They got a long homestand there from the 18th through the 21st. Then they go on the road for Christmas.
Yeah. So it'll be
It'll be good.
Yeah, they got to go 3-0. You got to go 3-0 against Sacramento, Oklahoma City, and San Antonio. That's got to be a 3-0 situation.
Yeah, looking at these Christmas Day games, oof. Like I'm excited about one of them. Like, I mean, I don't want to like jump the gun on our future topic, but who's watching Sixers Knicks?
The big game, man. You don't want to see James Harden.
Lakers Mavericks.
Yeah, it's not a good game. Bucks, or not a great game.
Bucks Celtics. That's a good game.
That's a good game. That's your game. That's your game of the day.
Memphis Warriors.
It's a good game.
That's a good game.
That's a good game. Those two teams have a little beef. Suns Nuggets.
That's probably
Suns Nuggets is a good game.
So I think there's so clearly the first two games are god awful.
Yeah, then, the first two games are not ones that are super exciting. The first one is the worst. Sixers Knicks. Nobody wants to watch that game.
James Harden does because he's not going to be playing.
He's back, man.
Is he back? No way. He's back. Did he play?
He's back. He played against the Rockets.
Oh yeah, how did that go? Didn't go well.
They lost in double overtime to the Rockets.
Oh, I didn't realize he was back. I didn't.
James Harden went. How do you think it went for James Harden?
Oh well, I'm gonna guess.
Do you care to make a prediction against his former? Now, keep in mind, this is kind of an important game because you know he's coming back. He's coming back against his former team, right?
Was he wearing a fat suit in this game?
Probably wanted to play well, right? He did pour in 21 points.
He probably shot 17 shots. That's my guess. How many shots did he take?
Well, he took 19. He was 4-for-19, 4-for-11 from three. Unfortunately, he went 0-for-8 from inside the 3-point line. He did cough up a nifty 7 turnovers.
Sounds pretty good.
So maybe not his best game. If you're Joel Embiid, Embiid went for 39, although he only had 7 rebounds. But, I mean, at some point, let's put it this way. I'm going to use the word if, even though I feel like it's a certainty. But if things don't go well for the Sixers in the playoffs this year, doesn't Embiid have to start looking around going, hey man, I might need to get out of here.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised.
Yeah, I agree.
He might be the next guy. He might be the next guy on the block. But again, I don't know if I'm another franchise, Joel Embiid has yet to show me that he's a guy that I can win NBA championships.
And being the number one guy. Yeah.
I just don't. I mean, we've talked about it ad nauseum on here, but I have a hard time believing that just like Kawhi Leonard at this point, I just don't see Embiid being able to put together a 2-month stretch of every other day basketball to lead a team to an NBA title. I just don't see it. And when his sidekick is James Harden, that's not a good combination. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I agree.
No thank you is what I would say if that was offered to me and I was an NBA GM or owner or fan. No thanks.
Yeah. Do you know who else was saying no thank you?
Who's that?
Nike.
Yes. Nike said no thank you to the services of Kyrie Irving, which well, I know like, there was.
Like, it basically had already been pretty much confirmed. Yeah, like,
right. Not surprising. I don't know what to make of Kyrie's situation in terms of his long-term viability as an NBA player. Clearly, the talent is there, but the guy's so erratic. I think the interesting thing will be what happens at the end of this season when his contract's up and he's a free agent. And is there going to be interest? And if there is, at what financial level of commitment is there going to be interest? I don't know. I have no idea. You could tell me anything.
There's going to be interest, Mike. Come on. Well,
there's going to be interest. I know there's going to be interest. But there's always dumb people out there. But I would not take one of my max player slots and deliver that money to Kyrie Irving. I would look elsewhere if I was an owner and a GM. Because just like the track records that we've been talking about, other guys with injuries – when you're talking about Kyrie, you're talking about injuries, but you're also talking about, who knows, goofiness. And
it, as Judge Judy likes to say, if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, and it's a duck.
Yeah, it's probably true. And I don't think I would sign a duck if I was an NBA team.
Maybe at least not for Howard? What about Howard the Duck?
At least, yeah. At least not for any significant salary. Maybe you just take a one-year flyer on the guy if you're a championship contender, that maybe you think he pushes you over the top. But I certainly don't want to build or hinge my franchise on Kyrie Irving as one of my franchise players. No thanks.
I agree. All right, Mike. Anything else we want to talk about?
I think we've hit on most of the big storylines in the league at this point for the past week. I guess the last thing would be the Karl Anthony Towns injury. We didn't really talk about that at all. I think it's probably, scary as it is to say, it probably gives the Timberwolves a chance to look at what their team would look like without him. And I think at some point they're going to have to probably explore the trade market for Karl Anthony Towns, because I'm not sure that those three guys constitute a championship nucleus. So maybe you can get something for Towns. I have no idea what Towns' value is around the league. Guy who's never really performed well in the playoffs. Guy who really only plays one end of the floor. And he's historically good at what he does for his size. But the fact that he's a one-way player, and the fact that he's never won in the regular season or in the playoffs, and he's in his, what, seventh or eighth year, doesn't give me a whole lot of faith that that is going to turn around. But who knows? He's obviously talented. And just like any other of these guys we've been talking about, there's always somebody that talks themselves into, hey, we can bring in Towns and we got the right structure around him that we can make him into a defender and this and that. And again, I'm glad it's not my franchise.
I agree.
But yeah, it'll be good for Anthony Edwards. I think it'll be good for Anthony Edwards. I think you're going to see Anthony Edwards tick up here in the last.
You don't think he's going to be standing in the corner, not playing offense or defense?
He still might, but I think you're going to see him tick up. Let's put it that way. I think he's going to start to move in a positive direction compared to where he started the season. He's too good not to.
Okay, those are brave hypotheses, but we'll go with them. Mike,
all right, well, thanks. I appreciate it. I appreciate that.
I'm glad you believe in him.
I do.
All right. Well, I guess we have to end with our one segment.
All right, let's do it.
I don't feel good about that win, Mike.
No? Why not? It's a good win. Good win for the Browns.
Well, as you said, Watson led them to victory.
It was good to finally have a dynamic quarterback back there that could fire balls into the ground at 90 miles an hour. It was great to see.
Yeah, listen.
You can't expect anything more. I mean, the guy hasn't played in 2 years, so I don't think you could have expected him to come out and light the world on fire. I think, look, the Texans are the worst team in the league, and they definitely proved it in that game. The fact that we didn't score an offensive touchdown, but we scored two defensively and returned a punt for the first time in, what, 201 games is what you told me.
Do you know the person that returned the last one for a touchdown?
Eric Metcalf.
Come on now.
No.
It was I forgot. It was the guy.
See, it was Eric Metcalf. Just go with it.
It was not Eric Metcalf.
All right.
I'm gonna figure it out. But it was the guy. The one good decent player that we had for a little bit there.
Josh Cribbs.
No, it was the guy after that. Hold on. Browns punt return. I'm going to kick myself when I don't remember this. If my students have listened to this far into the podcast, they're going to make fun of me when they hear that I'm having hung it. I didn't get there, but it's Travis Benjamin. That's who it was.
All right.
Do you remember Travis Benjamin?
I mean, I remember him. He was little. He was a little guy. He was a scat back.
It's like Baker, little guy.
That's right. Did he get signed by the Niners yet?
No, he's not going to the Niners. The Rams.
Where's he going?
The Rams claimed him on waivers.
Really?
They wanted to pay him that $1.5 million.
He's going to be out of the league, right?
Well, listen to this one. So the Rams signed him today, Mike.
Okay.
They play on Thursday night. He's supposedly going to start.
Nice.
He was flying to L.A. and they sent him a playbook.
Hey, he's playing for the Super Bowl champs. Congratulations. he's gonna be out of the league soon. Look, it was a good win for the Browns, right? I mean, it keeps alive the false hope that
There's no chance. They could go on a run. They could win the rest of the games and they could still not be in the playoffs because they have no tiebreakers against any of those teams because they lost all the games that they should have won. The Jets, the Dolphins.
Right. Chargers.
The Chargers. Those three teams all have, like, I don't know what, like, the probability is, but I know,
well,
like...
Well, look, we're all deluding ourselves, right? Because... You look at the schedule and you say, all right, you know, hey, we beat Cincinnati before. Lamar Jackson's hurt. These other teams are all terrible. But the only problem is we're forgetting
that the Browns are
terrible too. And so
is this the week Joe Burrow gets the monkey off his back, Mike? He has not beaten the Browns ever.
Look, I won't be surprised if the Browns win. And look, what's gonna happen? You know what's gonna happen. Is the Browns are going to win as many games as it takes to get to the threshold of making it to the playoffs, and then there'll be some type of crushing defeat.
Lost to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, lost to Pittsburgh. Right. That will make the most sense. You go into that game where you'll control your own destiny if you beat the Steelers, and we won't show up, and it'll be like 42-3. It'll be like Bud Carson all over again.
All right, there you go. I was not alive, Mike.
You weren't alive for Bud Carson?
What year was Bud Carson the coach for this?
Bud Carson, wasn't that the first? Well, I'm trying to think. No, because Chris Palmer was the first coach. Bud Carson, they lost to the Steelers like 52-3. I think it was might have been an opening game. I can't remember, but I always associate bad performances by the Browns against the Steelers with Bud Carson. Not that he's obviously not the only coach, player, executive, owner that you can associate with bad performances against the Steelers, because anybody pretty much who's been associated with the franchise could be associated with bad losses to the Steelers. But nonetheless, for some reason, Bud Carson always comes to mind.
Bud Carson's debut as Browns head coach, he won 51-0 against the Steelers.
He did.
There you go.
All right. Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe my memory fails me. I swear he got killed at some point by the Steelers.
September 10th. 1987, Bud Carson. Browns hang 51-0 defeat on Steelers. I've never seen anything like it, said Clay Matthews. It was almost comical. How could you even figure it out? It was the worst I've ever seen as a coach.
All right, well, there you go.
Noel as the Steelers head coach.
All right, well, there you go.
Well, I guess I was alive, Mike. It was 89.
All right,
I was alive, but not aware.
You were not a Browns fan at that point.
Yep. All right.
All right, let's leave it there. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We really appreciate it. Continue to check out our weekly NBA episodes, and be sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at HoopHeadsPod, and we will catch you for our next episode very soon. Thanks. Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies, and most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the Portfolio Guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a HoopHeads Pod listener, you can get your Coaching Portfolio Guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the HoopHeads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.